and cause you to bring about changes that God wants. Now, faith takes. Come on, everybody say, faith takes. Grace makes, but faith takes. Grace is God's power in action, God's love, God's mercy. Getting what we did not deserve is what God has made available to us. None of us deserve the things that we're getting or we are going to get from God, but God has made it available because of His grace, His love in action, His power. And we'll be looking at some scriptures. 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter 1, tells us that His grace has made all things available to us that pertain to life and godliness. But here is a verse that we've been looking at over the past 3 weeks. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, give attention to my words. Give attention to my words. And that's what we say every week. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Pay attention to the word of God. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Okay. in your life, whether it be at church or at home or wherever. Pay attention to it. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to all who find them and health to their flesh. They are what? They are life to all who find them and what? Help me preach. And what? Health. Come on, everybody say health.
Health.
All right. Health. Come on, let's get warmed up. And health to their flesh. That word health is the Hebrew word marpeh, which means medicine. The word of God is medicine for all of your flesh. Every bit of your flesh. Your body, your mind, your soul. Every bit of your flesh. There's nothing that the word of God cannot touch in your life. Alright? So that's very important. Now we know this. We've been looking at this. I've been giving you some examples over the week. Over the weeks about how Satan is at work. And I'm going to give you another example, and I'm just going to show you something. I love to do this because, you know, we just need to be aware of what's happening in the world. Not that you're not aware, but sometimes we're not aware of certain things. I certainly wasn't aware of what I'm about to show you now until last week during my study. I came across it. And on my way home, I mentioned it to Pastor Trevor and to Pastor Joy. And I decided this week I'll share it with you. And this just shows how much of selfishness and self-centeredness is in the world. And the enemy is using that mechanism, okay, to focus people's minds on themselves. And when your minds are focused on yourself, you just have you end up having a pity party, or you end up making foolish, stupid decisions. And that's what we're going to see right here, right now. A Brazilian model by the name of Cris Galera, last year, November, she decided that she's going to marry herself. She said she's had enough of men. Men, all men do is let her down. And these are the words that she said. I will never betray my trust. I will never betray me. I will love myself above all. You see what she said? I will love myself above all. People's opinion will not change the way that I think. I am more important than anybody else or anything else. And so therefore what I'm going to do is I'm going to marry myself. And this actually happened. It's a true story. Reported in the press. And she went to a Catholic church and married herself. The act is actually called sologamy. I didn't even know such a thing existed. Sologamy, that's what it's called. The act of marriage. And the press said that she actually revived something that was already in existence. So she went to church and married herself. 3 months later, she filed for divorce. Why? She met a man. And she fell in love with him. How foolish is this world getting, church? Huh? We live in a crazy world. A mad world where there's a lot of darkness going on. I'm going to do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. Oh, look at me. I'm so pretty. I'm in love with myself. I'm going to marry myself. I'm going to divorce myself because I met a man. Oh, God, give me a break. Anyway, listen. We need to pray. Church, we need to pray. We really do. We really need to pray because you see the world we're living in? All right. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about Ephraim. Now, we're saying faith takes. Okay? And God has created everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. And God has said, my people, I've created it already. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to do anything for it. I have qualified you, and I have prepared everything that you need. All I've done is my bit. Now what you've got to do is your bit, and you've got to take it. So grace makes, faith takes. Ephraim did not act in faith. And when I say Ephraim, I'm talking about the man Ephraim as well as the tribe Ephraim. And I'm going to show you some things. Now, when the children of Israel was about to leave Egypt, God said to them that you must, when you enter the land, you're going to see enemies there. You're not going to, you want things from God, you're not going to get it that easy. You're going to have to fight for it. There's going to be ites there that you're going to have to dispossess. And that's what he said in Numbers 33:53. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given it to you. Not going to give it to you. Going to give it to you. I have given it to you. Do you get that, church? I have given it to you. Not going to give it to you. God has given you your healing. God has given you your provision. Given you that good job. Given you that good business. God has done that. And we know from other scripture, it's written in a book that God himself has, is written out your life in a book, everything that should be accomplished pertaining to the purposes that God has created in your life for you to fulfill. He has given them the land to possess it. He gave them the land before they had it. That's what he said to them. I have given it to you. Okay? But when we look in the Bible now, let's focus on Ephraim a little bit. Judges 1:29. Ephraim, nor did Ephraim, the Bible says there, drive out. They did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Giza. So the Canaanites dwelt in Giza among them. What did God say? Drive out because I've given you the land. Drive out the inhabitants. Drive them out. Dispossess them. Because I have given you the land. What did they do? They didn't obey his word. They didn't listen to him. They did it their way. They went in and they saw stuff that, and they saw the ites. And instead of driving them out, the Bible says that they dwelt among them. They dwelt among them. God is saying to us today that there are certain things that we need to drive, maybe some attitudes that we need to drive out of our mind. We've been telling ourselves stuff, and that stuff that we've been telling ourselves has been keeping back the blessing of God from our lives. And we've got to drive out that negative thinking, that wrong thinking. We've got to drive out those things that we see in our lives that hinders us from entering into the promises of God. It could be fear. It could be doubt. It could be unbelief. It could be anything that you know what's in you. And God is saying, hey, you're going to drive it out. You want to possess what I have for you? I've already made it. I've given it to you. I've made it available. But if for you to possess it, you have got to drive out those negative traits. Can I get a loud amen, church? Got to drive them out. Now, I'm exhorting today. Hosea 7 verse 8. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. A cake unturned. Ephraim mixed himself. Instead of driving out their inhabitants, he mixed himself. And we see that throughout history. I gave you a Bible study some years ago when we were studying angels of how the enemy wants God's people to be mixed. Mixed with stuff, mixed with things, right through the generations, starting from the Garden of Eden right up until today. We see it, how the enemy wants us to compromise, wants us to mix with things that are ungodly, mix with things that are not right, wants us to mix. And this is what Ephraim did. And as a result, the Bible says that Ephraim is a cake unturned. What does that mean? Back in those days, thank God for today. Today we have what we call what? Ovens. What kind of ovens? Gas oven. Yeah, gas, but fan oven. That's it. Fan assisted ovens. When we when Joy bakes a cake or she puts a mixture in the kitchen, she just puts it right in the middle of the oven. She doesn't have to turn it. She just leaves it there. Why? Because the fan assists the air in the oven to circulate the heat so that the heat is even inside the oven and the whole cake is baked. Back in the Bible days, wasn't like that. Their ovens, number one, were a lot larger. Number two, they had what you, I don't know what they call it, but these large square things on a stick, and the cake would go in it, and you would put it in, into a large kiln, almost looking like a kiln. And that was the oven back then. And they would have to put it in, and then they would have to take it out and turn the cakes and put it back in so that the cakes were evenly burned, evenly baked. Or burned, depending on how long it would be. And that's what they would have to do. And then the Bible says here, now, that Ephraim is a cake unturned. Now, what would happen back then? What do you think would happen back then when the cake was unturned? The top would look okay, but guess what? The bottom would be burnt. So it would be half baked. Baked but raw. Baked but burnt. And, you know, that's no good. A half-baked cake is no good, is it? How many people would enjoy it if Joy gave you a half-baked cake? You wouldn't. And she never does that. Thank God for that. I know, because I'm the tester. All right, so let me show you some things. So it was good on the surface. What could be seen looked nice, looked bright. But underneath, something's wrong, something's missing. Underneath was burnt. Underneath was not good. Underneath, the cake back then, these are poor examples, I know, but I just wanted to get the picture. So on the top, on the surface, everything looked okay, but underneath, burnt. Underneath, not good. And if underneath was not good, how many people know the whole thing is not good? And that's exactly what would happen, and that's what the Bible was talking about here. A cake half-baked, not fully touched by God's grace, is worthless, useless, unprofitable. It is no good for consumption. A cake that's half baked is like a cake that was, like I said before, part of it is okay on the surface, it may look nice. And I know these are, again, poor examples. Sorry, I couldn't find the proper pictures. But just want you to get the picture. On the top, on the surface, it looks all right, but when you flip it out, look. Looks terrible, burnt. And so the whole thing was no good. So on the surface it was okay, but inwardly it was not well. This was Ephraim. Inwardly they weren't well. They were cake unturned because they weren't properly, I don't want to say baked, they weren't properly made or fashioned the way that God expected them to be fashioned. They were mixing, Ephraim this is, mixing good with bad. They were being ravaged. One writer said they were being ravaged by sin and they didn't even realize it. They were in sin, but they didn't realize that they were in sin. And so, while on the surface everything looked like, all right, underneath everything was going in the opposite direction. Because they were dealing with the things properly in their life. Sometimes we need to turn over. You know, spiritually speaking, we need to turn. You know, and not just stay on the one gauge. I'm going to do it my way. Well, you don't understand. Well, you don't care. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that. No, sometimes we need to say, no. I'm going to turn now. I tried it my way. It didn't work. I'm going to turn now, and I'm going to do it God's way. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. And that ought to be the testimony of every single believer. So that's an Ephraim, a cake half burned. Here, Hosea 5:11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly, listen to this, he willingly walked by human precept. In other words, Ephraim was walking according to their own ability, according to what they think. Well, this is what I think. Well, this is what I see. Well, this is what I think. And this is what I see about the matter. And then he walked according to human precept. And as a result of that, the Bible says that they were oppressed and broken because they were walking incorrectly. They weren't using their faith to take what God wanted them to take. Hosea 5:13, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, yet he cannot cure nor heal you of your wound. In other words, Ephraim chose to ignore God's word, to ignore God himself, and to get, if you like, healing from a different source. So what? They went to a different place, and they went to a different person. When God was saying, hey, I'm your God, I'm your sufficiency, I'm your all in all, I am here, I'm ready to touch you, I'm ready to restore, I'm ready to heal, I'm ready to lead, I've provided all these blessings for you, I've told you you can inherit the land because I have already given it to you. All you got to do is drive out the ites. All you got to do is trust me. All you got to do is do what I say. All you got to do is obey me. And yet they chose not to do that, but to do it their own way. And so as a result of that, nothing works. How many people know that? Nothing really works if we don't do it God's way. You may have short-term pleasure. It may look like it's going right. It may look like it is going the way that it's supposed to go. But you know what, folks? In the long run, it won't work. It won't work. We've got to trust God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we've got to trust God. Good. I'm glad you told your neighbor we, because that includes you. We've got to trust God. Hosea 7:11. Ephraim. Sorry. Ephraim also is a silly dove. Without sense. Have you met some people that behave like they don't have any sense? No? Am I the only one? Ephraim also is a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt and they go to Assyria. So here's another verse saying the same thing. It's saying that they call upon people, the wrong people, and they go to the wrong place. God is saying, here I am. And what are they doing? They're going to, and there's more I could say about that, but I'm not going to go on. I'm watching the clock because we're going to pray in a minute. Hosea 4:17. Ephraim is joined to idols, so let him alone. You know what that verse is really saying? God has been calling them and saying, turn back, repent, my way, come back to God. And you know, they just continue to ignore. And here's this verse. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Because at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do. We looked on Thursday about the will. And I said on Thursday, like I said before, that God will never violate your will. Whatever you will yourself to do, you will yourself to be in a meeting, you'll be in a meeting. You will yourself to not be there, you won't be there. You will yourself to visit somebody, you'll visit somebody. You will yourself to not, you won't. You will yourself to give, you give. You will yourself to not give, you won't give. Even though the word of God, the Holy Spirit, will be prompting you, you've got to use your will to make your, to set your mind to make the right decision so that the fruit of that blessing, the fruit of that obedience can come into your life. Got to use your will. And you know what? Paul said in his writings as well, God gave them over, a group of people that constantly heard God's word and constantly rejected, constantly hearing truth. And they just heard the truth, they nodded, they said yes, but they did not do the truth. They did not walk in that truth. They did not apply that truth to their lives. And Paul said that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Sad. Psalm 78, and I've quoted this quite a bit over the years. But here we see why the psalmist now was talking about this, because we have a small little picture of Ephraim, okay, from the prophet's perspective that we just looked at. Now, Psalm 78, verse 9, says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. Listen, church, the last thing you want to do is turn back in the day of battle. How many people know you're in warfare? If you're going after God with all of your heart, you're in warfare. The devil doesn't even want you in church this morning. He doesn't want you praying and praying with God's people. He doesn't want you activating and using your faith. He wants you silenced. He wants you numb. He wants you to keep silent. your mouth closed. He doesn't want you praising God. You can't praise God with your mouth closed. He doesn't want to do that. Because he knows, the devil knows, if you begin to do that, you're going to attract the presence of God. And he doesn't want the presence of God attracted. So he will do everything he can to keep you silent. Can I get a loud amen, church? Amen. And we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be aware of it. We can't turn back in the day of battle. Verses 10 and 11 says, they did not keep three things. They did not keep the covenant of God. And some Christians forget that we're in covenant with God. God has done his part, we've got to do our part. We can't be just sitting down now. I said this before. We can't just sit down and say, Lord, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. Because God has already blessed you. Now we've got to take what God has provided for us by faith. But you've got to see in his word first. Believe it and then take it. Okay? They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. And they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Now, that's Ephraim. That's the negative over. I'm going to quickly show you some groups of people that took it by faith, okay? That realized what they had, realized what was before them, and decided that they were going to do something about it. I'm not just going to let Jesus pass by. Colossians 1, verse 12, first of all, says, giving God thanks, or giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That's you and I. We're qualified to be partakers of the inheritance. The inheritance. The inheritance is the blessing of God. Whether it be finances, whether it be healing, whether it be, you know, in your job, promotion, whether it be in your family, whether it be your loved ones, God has qualified us already. We don't need to qualify ourselves. God has already done that. Isn't that good news? God has already qualified us. We looked at this before. So, you know, to be partakers of the inheritance in the light. Now, look at this. 10 lepers, first example from Luke 17, 14. The Bible says, and when he saw them, these are the 10 lepers, he said to them, this is Jesus, go show yourself to the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were healed. Yeah. 10 lepers needed healing. They didn't get it. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They could have stood up there and argued, well, what are you talking about, go show yourself to the priest? I got leprosy. I can't show myself to the priest because I got leprosy. Look. I got still got the leprosy. If I go to show myself to the priest with the leprosy, then you know, what the priest going to say? You got leprosy. They didn't stand up there and argue. They obeyed. They did what Jesus told them to do. That's an illogical instruction. Right? But they obeyed, and the Bible says, as they went, they were healed. As they went. Come on, everybody say, as they went.
As they went.
Yeah, man, as they went, they were healed. Look at Simon Peter. Luke 5, verses 4 and 6. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. This is again Jesus, the carpenter, telling a fisherman about his business. Now, Simon didn't really like this. And I won't go into that now. But if you read the context, Jesus said, let down the nets. And what did Simon do? He nevertheless, Lord, what I do is I let down. He obeyed, but he obeyed reluctantly. But he obeyed. And as a result of that, he let down the net. Instead of letting down the nets, he let down the net. And the Bible says that they enclosed a great number of fishes. Now, ordinary speaking, one fish, many fish. But this is good and proper English grammar, fishes, because we're talking about variety. When you're talking about a variety or a different kinds of fish, then it becomes fishes. So all different varieties and kinds of fish came into the one net that they let down, and the Bible says that it began to break. Why? Because they didn't let down the nets, as Jesus said. And we've got to be careful sometimes, and I've had this in my life, where people came to me talking about somebody else, and I've had to rebuke them and say, no, you listen to what they're saying. They're your spiritual oversight. So you listen to what they're saying, rather than just using your intellect to, well, what does he know? What does she know? No, they may not know much, but the Spirit of God can lead somebody to give them the right counsel. Can I get an amen? Give them the right instruction in that moment. So stop looking on people from the outside and look and listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Simon Peter, he obeyed reluctantly, but caught a great number of fishes, the Bible said. He obeyed though. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched his garment, Mark 5:27. And if she had followed, if she just looked at the crowd and said, oh, you know what, it's too busy, maybe next time. Maybe next time when he's passing by, I'll reach out. But no, she didn't. She reached out, she said to herself, if only I may just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she reached out, she acted in faith. Right? And got what was hers. Are you hearing me, church? Jonah, the reluctant prophet, here's another reluctant person, told to go and preach to the city of Nineveh, and he didn't immediately. He went in the opposite direction. And when he went in the opposite direction, he caused trouble not just for himself, but for others. Not just for himself, but for others. To the point where even the people in the boat where he was saying, hang on a minute, what's going on? After they cast us, they said, what's going on? What have you done? You've disappointed your God, and you've called this calamity to come, not just upon yourself, but upon us also. What should we do with you? And Jonah said, throw me into the ocean, and throw him into the sea. And God prepared a great fish, came, swallowed Jonah, you know the story. And Jonah was in the fish of the belly for 3 days and three nights. And this is what he prayed. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, he came to his senses. Sometimes the Lord has to bring us aside from everything, shut out everything. How many people know you can run from God, but you can't hide? What's the point of running if you can't hide? And right there in the fish's belly, Jonah began to pray this prayer. And he says, but I will. When he came to, he said, I will. I what? Come on, say that loud. I will. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Jonah, right down there in the fish's belly, said, no, hang on a minute. Oh my gosh, I've been doing the wrong thing. No, but this is what I will. I've willed myself to sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And in verse 9 said, so God heard the prayer, and what did he do? He spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited him out on dry land. And we know the rest of the story. He went to Nineveh and he preached, I think it was 8 words came out of his mouth. 8 words. And 120,000 people got saved. To this day, I've never heard any speaker preach a short sermon like that, shorter than that, and so much people getting saved. The city was ripe. And God knew that. That's why he sent Jonah. And Jonah did not want to go. And that's why it was even 8 words as well. I believe that. Personally, I believe that. He brought the word. He obeyed God. But his attitude wasn't altogether there. And that's why we see that in chapter 4. After he left there, he should have been rejoicing. Wow, Lord. Sorry, Lord. Look at this. So he's repentant in the fish of the belly. But still hadn't dealt with everything. I believe he was an unturned cake. Something's right and look good. But underneath, something was still wrong. And God was saying to him, turn over, Jonah. Turn over. But God is such a compassionate God, irrespective of what he did. And he came out vexed. And we read chapter 4, we see that. And God prepared a plant that to come over him and to keep him from burning up in the sunshine. And the rest. Jesus. Another example. I'm going to stop in a couple minutes. Jesus in the boat. Mark chapter 4, Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat while there was a storm going on. And then the disciples grew fearful and saying, Lord, don't you care that, you know, we are perishing? And then Jesus arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So what did he do? He rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea. Say that with me. He rebuked the wind and spoke to the... Say it again. He rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea. What was Jesus doing? He was rebuking the invisible and spoke to the visible. Please note that. There is an unseen enemy at work in your life that wants to bring you down, that wants to stop you, that wants to bring everything, bring calamity into your life. Jesus rebuked the invisible, and he spoke to the visible. The word rebuke means stop no more. He commanded the invisible to stop its work. You've got power over all the power of the devil, the Bible says. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You've got power. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. You've got power. And what we need to do is to use that power to rebuke what we can't see, rebuke the invisible, rebuke the devil and his agents at work, rebuke them, say, stop no more in Jesus' name. And then we speak to the visible things. Now, body, I command you to be healed, to be well, in Jesus' name. I command you to be fit in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to be restored to full health in the name of Jesus. Man, and if you don't get that reality, you know, you'll just sit there and it'll just be in. Yeah, that's true. In one ear and out the next, and nothing changes, church. But you see, when that reality gets a hold of you on the inside, and then stuff comes at you, you rise up. There's a rising up. How many people know what I'm talking about? There's a rising up on the inside where you become now violent, if you like, against what's coming against you because you know it's not from God. And we've got to learn to do that. Rebuke the invisible. Not sit down and, oh, well, that's one of those things. I'm getting old. You know what? Next week, I think I'm going down this road next week. I'm going to show you something about you and who you are. That as you're getting older, well, whether you're getting older or not, I'm going to show you from God's word how God sees you. And there's some beautiful scriptures I'm going to come and bring to light. I believe that's what the Lord wants me to do. He wants to show you who you are so that when you stand and when you go to your workplace, when you're on the public transport, when you're on the street, when you're in your home, your workplace, wherever you are, you stand knowing who you are in God and what he has prepared for you. So what should we be doing? We should be calling forth those things that be not as though they already exist. What things are not in your life that should be in your life? That's what we should be calling forth. Are you with me, church? Call it forth. Don't start and stop. Call it forth. Stay on it in Jesus' name. I keep telling you this. Get the word of God. Get the promises. Write them out. Get them before your eye gate. Speak them out. Speak them out. Speak them out. And speak them out. Declare them in the name of Jesus Christ. Until you see the manifestation of the thing. There's some things that Pastor David's believing for quite a little while. I've not seen it, but I've seen hints of it, and we've seen bits and pieces of it, but we don't want bits and pieces. I want the whole thing. And so I'm staying in faith. We are staying in faith and believing God for what he had already promised that he would do. That's the beautiful thing. God has already promised. God already promised Israel, Ephraim, the whole tribes. He promised them. He said, no, I've given you that land already. And they chose to disobey and to go their way. No, we're choosing, just like these folk here, to do it God's way, to take a hold of faith and to claim what God has spoken for. And I'm not waiting for the thing to manifest itself before I give God thanks. No, I'm giving God thanks before I receive it in Jesus' name. Have I got anybody with me? Whatever you're believing for, man, listen, thanksgiving establishes your faith. You want that thing manifested in your life? I dare you to stand up with your whole heart and to praise God. And that's what we should be doing, just praising God. When we come here, we should be light and ready. I'm light and I'm ready every single Sunday. Every Sunday, no matter what, two people I'm preaching like is a million. A million, I'll preach like there's 10 million. No, I'll preach like there's a million. Because I'm not remembering the same. Call forth those things we've been on as though they are. And the last screen, reminder, school's out. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Do what you have been taught. Do it, church. Don't be hearers and don't start and stop. You start to come early to church, don't start and stop. Continue to come early. You start to come to the prayer meeting, don't start and stop. Come and show up. We'd love to see your face. Do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject. You know about the subject already. You know everything about the subject. Stop studying the subject and start living it. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving. giving. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's stand on our feet. Just raise your hands. Just give him thanks. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. All right, you need to open your mouths now. Release, 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 release. Change the atmosphere around you now. Come on. You've got power inside of you, so just do it by faith. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We lift you up. We give you praise. We give you thanks, Lord. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. We bless you today, Father. We magnify you and we give you all the thanks. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for making everything available. Thank you, Lord, that our messes of yesterday are in yesterday. This is the day that I have made, that Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, this is the day that you've made and given to us, and we will lift up your name. Father, sickness cannot prevent us from praising you, Lord God. Pain cannot prevent us from worshiping you. You are mighty. You are glorious. You are wonderful beyond description, Father. And so we lift you up today and we magnify you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy of praise. Can we praise him a little louder? Can we speak a little? Can we really command the blessing of the Lord? Father, we bless you today, Lord. We lift you up. We praise you because you are worthy of glory and worthy of praise and worthy of honor. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. My life is in your hands. My future is in your hands. We give you all the honor. We give it to you, Lord. We give it to you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, if you have pain in your body, just touch yourself right where you are. If it's not embarrassing, just put your hand near or on that place. I don't care what it is. Whether it's your shoulder, your leg, an elbow, whatever it may be, you put your hand right there now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. In the name of the Lord, Lord, that we've just heard again, Lord, that the finished works of Jesus Christ is finished. And Father, part of that finishing, Lord, is the provision of our healing. We thank you, Lord. Your word says, by your stripes we are healed. And so, Father, we thank you. Your word says, behold, I am the Lord thy God who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases. And so, Lord, we release right now in Jesus' name. As an act of faith, Lord God, and as an act of our will, Father, we give you praise right now for all that you are doing in our bodies. Lord, we pray and we speak restoration right now in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord God, that ear will be completely open in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that pain, wherever it may be, Lord God, is gone in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. We plead the blood of Jesus over our bodies right now. And we give you all the praise because, Lord, you have done it already. So, Father, we're taking what you've already done now. And we claim it now by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for restoration. Thank you for healing. Thank you, Lord God, that we are on the frequency of your word. On the frequency, Father, of, oh God, obedience, Lord, and doing your will. And we give you all the honor today. We give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I just need to pray this. I just need to pray this, that wherever there is wherever there is unforgiveness in your heart, it's a blockage. I just need to say this, I'm going to pray. Wherever there is unforgiveness, it's a hindrance to your blockage. I've been saying over the past weeks, do not take offense, because offense builds offense. And when you build offense in your heart, nothing comes out that is supposed to come out. Nothing can go in that is supposed to go in. So do not take offense, especially at truth, at the truth of God's word, when it is presented. So if it's you this morning and you need to forgive someone, I'm just going to quietly pray and you pray with me. Heavenly Father, I release myself of all hurt and pain that has caused harm in my emotions, in my spirit, in my body, in my mind, in Jesus' name. I forgive those who have wronged me, and I release myself from that hurt and that pain in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for strengthening me and for giving me the courage to do what is right before you and before others. And I receive now your forgiveness, Lord, your strength, your anointing in my heart, in my life. And I give you praise. Can we lift our hands again? Just lift your hands and give God praise right now. Especially if you prayed that prayer. Do that now. Do that now. Do that now. Father, touch your people, Lord God, as they worship you, Lord. Wherever their needs are, whatever it may be. Father, touch them, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bring refreshment. Bring blessing. Bring restoration, Father, in every part of their life and being. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask, does anybody here need, I'm just going with the flow this morning. Does anybody here this morning have a struggle maybe in your mind in adjusting things or making change or challenges? There's a battle going on that you know is supernatural, if you like, on the evil side. There's a struggle that's going on and you've been having that for a long time or for a little while. I just want to pray for you this morning. So if that's you, come forward. If that's you, come forward. And if you know it's you and you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, man, don't stay in your seat. That's the worst thing you can do. But just come forward as an act of faith. And I'll just pray for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will get your release and your blessing. Hallelujah. Actually, I sense that there is at least one or two people here. You've not moved, but the Holy Spirit is showing me that there's one or two people here. You need prayer. And unless you move, see, God has done his part. But if you don't do your part, guess what? You won't receive what God has done. You got to do your part. Last call. Anybody would like me to pray with you, just come forward right now. And I'll do that. The songwriter said, Jesus knows all about my struggles. And we all have them. I think I said this last week. We all have them. We all have these battles. And Christ knows about them. And he wants to bless. He wants to bring fulfillment. I'm talking because I'm giving. There's somebody else that needs to come forward. Man, don't fight the Holy Ghost. You can't win. You can't win. You can't win. And I really want you to get your breakthrough today. It's the last call. Come forward now in Jesus' name. Release yourself. Release yourself in Jesus' name. Praise God. Can we stretch our hands towards Jesus, our brother? Could you stretch your hands towards your brother, please? And not only that, can you begin to speak in tongues right now? Just come on, just stir that spirit up inside of him. Hallelujah. Father, I just lift up your son before you. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for his openness and his honesty, Father, in coming forward, and Lord God, in sharing with you what you share. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you know all about him, everything, Father, from beginning to end. More than that, you have a good plan for him, a plan to see prosper, and not come to any harm. But Father, right now, these battles that he's facing, Father, I pray that he will know, Lord God, in his mind and his spirit, that he is already a victor in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And that, Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
That, Lord God, you will just have your hand upon him, that you will strengthen him, Lord God. And that you will cause him, Father, to be completely and totally refreshed by you. I feel that, God. I feel that you just need to. There's a lot of anxiety. Okay? And you just need to let it go. Just let it go. Just release it now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just release it. And just let it go in the name of the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you fill him, oh God. Fill him afresh right now, Father, with your purposes, oh God, with your goodness, with your goodness, Lord God. Fill him, Lord Jesus. Fill him afresh, Lord. Every anxiety, God, just let it go, God. Let go of the anxiety. Release it. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all, Lord God, that we ask or think, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now fill my brother, your son, Lord God, with your goodness, with refreshments of your power, Lord God, and let him know, Father, that you are there. You are there. You never leave him. You are there, Lord God, with him. You are there in the midst, in Jesus' name. You are there, Lord, and that you are able to do exceeding and abundantly, Lord God, above all that we ask or think according to the power in us. And so fill him, Lord God, while he's here on the floor. Fill him, Lord God, with your goodness and refreshment and your blessing in Jesus' name. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. There are some folks here. There are some folks here that have anxiety. Anxiety. You're anxious about things. Who are you? Come forward right now. You're anxious about things.
Amen.
And don't be anxious about nothing. The Bible, come over here. Come here. God doesn't want you to be anxious about anything. The three of you, look at me. Look at me. God doesn't want you. I don't know you know this, all right? But I'm just reminding you that. First of all, I want to tell you that God loves you and knows everything. Everything. I mean everything. He sees everything. But he doesn't want you to be anxious. Alright, so what I'm going to pray, and what we're going to pray, I want your faith to join my faith, that the anxiety is going in Jesus' hand. Alright, so, Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be known in Jesus' name. So, Father, thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for power. Father, I just lift it up before you right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just come against it. Anxiety in the heart of the man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So we speak a good word, Lord God, and we declare over Kara, it is well, in Jesus' name. Now teach her to cast her cares on you because you care for us, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for the release that you are bringing even now. Just release from him this morning, Kara. Just receive from your brother. Receive, Lord God, this morning. Just relax and receive. Give it to you. Just say, Lord, I give it to you in Jesus' name. I give to you in Jesus' name. And I receive, Lord God, your influence in the mighty name of Jesus. Same as the most Father. Lord God, whatever the kids are, whatever they are, Lord God, guess what? Yeah. In your personal life, God seems to know about your personal life, Simone. He knows everything that is going on, the issues that you are concerned about. And he's saying, give it to me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give it to me and receive from me the peace that surpasses all understanding. So just relax and just give it to you. Just say, Father, I empty myself of these anxieties, the very causes. I give them to you, Lord. I lay them down. And I receive from you strength and anointing in Jesus' mighty name. Just receive from you now. Receive in the name of Jesus. Strengthen your thoughts, Lord. Strengthen your thoughts, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we give you praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Father, I'm going to clothe your dear precious son, Lord. Your faithful servant, Lord. And Father, we thank you for his humility, his humbleness, Lord God. And Lord, I know that he knows, but Lord, we just remind him now that you love him and you care for him, Lord. Everything that goes on in his life, in his family unit, you see and you know about it. Father, I pray right now that he will teach you, Father, to empty now himself of all his anxieties, Lord, and to cast his care upon you. And so, we'll just do
anointing in the name of Jesus. A fresh anointing in the name of the Lord. Yesterday's anointing is gone. Today, a fresh dose in the mighty name of Jesus. So touch you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up your daughter here before you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That, oh God, that these cares, whatever they may be, Father, these things that are causing these anxieties, Lord, oh God, we just rebuke them now in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, they're painful because they're close to our hearts and sometimes even private. But the private things, Lord God, we hear are not private with you. You know about them, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you just teach her, Father, to release herself, Lord God, from these anxieties, these cares. Teach her to give them to you, Lord. Because, Lord God, to look into your word even more and to know what your promises say, Father. To believe your promises, Lord. Oh God, if you've done it for these people, Lord, and more, you can do it, oh God. And somebody said, Lord, do it again. Make a way out of no way. Lord, I know you can. And so, Father, I pray that you will do this, oh God, in his life. Just give it to me, yeah? Just say, Lord, I give it to you. I give you all my cares, all my anxieties. I give it to you, Lord. I give it to you. And my mind is renewed now in Jesus' name. Renewed and my heart filled with your spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let there be a fresh revival, a fresh anointing poured out upon your daughter. Stir her up, Lord God, we pray. In Jesus' name. To receive from you, Father, the very best that you have prepared for her. In the name of the Lord. No more up and down. 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 In and out. But consistency now. In Jesus' name. So as you give him praise, you're going to see God do it for you. Here. As you give him praise, God is going to do it. As you give him praise. So praise is the key that's coming from my spirit to you. Give him praise. And as you do it, God will help you and God will relieve you of all these things. Believe him. Believe his words. Believe what he has said he will do. In Jesus' name.
Things stop things from working.
Church, can we give him praise this morning? Can we stand and give him praise this morning? Can we lift up our hands? Can we open our mouths and give God praise? Can we magnify him this morning? I mean, I believe that God is longing to hear from you. Your breakthrough is in your praise. Your breakthrough is in your praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your breakthrough is in your praise. It's in your mouth. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you today. Lord, we exalt you today, Father. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, Father. All the honor. In Jesus' name, Father, we give you praise.